Welcome to another inspirational message from Church on the Rock Powell. Thank you for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us at www.therockchurch.co.za.
But I want you to turn with me to Matthew 21, reading from verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gently and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. How many of you know that when Jesus instructs us, it's good to obey? Amen? Are you with me? They didn't negotiate, you know, when it was like, and come on, we often negotiate with God. They didn't do that. They didn't want like the three steps on how to do it from Jesus. It says they just went. And so they took the donkey to Jesus and he rode on the donkey into Jerusalem. Now, over the last few weeks, we've looked at Jesus, who is trustworthy. You can follow him. Amen. We looked at Jesus, who serves, and you can leave a legacy in your life. That was last week. And if you weren't here last week, you can listen to it today online. And today, we're looking at Jesus, who seeks. You can carry the message. You can carry the message. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you know that you haven't come to church just to do church? That's not why we're here. But we've come so that our lives might be changed. Amen? Is that a quiet church today? Okay, back row. Tell the person next to you, hello, loud. And say hello back. The quieter this church is, the longer I preach, I promise you. So we've come together that our lives might be changed. And if you're ready for that, say after me, my heart's open, my mind's ready, I won't be the same again, in Jesus' name, amen. How many of you admit that you have the habit of losing things? Be honest. I'm in good company today. I didn't expect so many hands to go up. I kind of lose things on a regular basis, you know. I went to the toilet at the waterfront recently, washed my face on the basin and everything, came out and had to go buy a new pair of sunglasses because, I don't know. I also lose things when I travel. You know, I've left my passport behind in hotels and safes. I mean, I've lost the, sorry. My whole family was with me and I didn't have my passports. I've lost the occasional charger. You know, I've lost my credit card once in America. Like, duh. I was in Sydney, Australia. 33,000 people in the Acer Arena. And after the event, I left. You know, I walked up the aisles and I realized that I never had my leather. It was middle of winter. Didn't have my leather gloves or the diesel leather gloves. I loved them. I'd left them under the seat. And so I got to the exit. As I got to the exit, I walked through the exit 2 feet into the foyer. And I realized, and I turned around to go back in to get my leather gloves that I had just left under the seat. And the guy said, no, you can't step back in. I said, I only took 2 steps out. Yes, but you can't step in. I said, I left my gloves. They're over there. I could see the seat. It was 8 rows down. I remember forever. In my whole life, I'm going to remember this, you know. And he said, no, nobody's allowed back in. I said, I haven't left. I took 2 steps there, 8 rows. That's my seat. No, you can't go in. Impossible. But I'm just going to go 8 rows. I will call security and have you arrested. If anybody wants to know why I'm never, ever going to immigrate to Australia, it's because of that oak, I'll tell you now. You know? He said to me, you can go to lost property. Lost property, it's there. We walk it out. Anyway, he wouldn't allow me to. I could see my seat. I knew where my things were. Anyway, I ran around trying to find somebody in charge to give me permission to go back into the place, and I couldn't get it. And I ran around, and I never, ever got my gloves back. I went to lost property, every day. It ruined the entire conference for me. Every morning I rushed to Lost Property. Have you got my diesel? No. We've got 3,240 Bibles, but no gloves, you know. And I kept going back and I kept going to check. Now, why did I do that? Why did I keep going back? Listen to me. Because the higher the value of what is lost, the higher the intensity of the search. Did you hear that? The higher the value of what is lost, the higher the intensity of the search. And I've never rushed around like that for a lost charger. Never. Why? Because I can use Jan's lost charger. Well, hers never lost. I don't think she's ever lost anything. I think she wished she lost me a few times, but she did lose me a few times. All right, I get lost too. Not only do I lose things, I get lost. But I can go to her and I can use her charger. You know, in other words, I've got another option that is there. And how many of you lost a wedding band? All right, engagement ring with diamonds on it. Are you with me? The higher the value of the item, the higher the intensity of the search. Now, Jesus places a very high value on souls, on humanity. So the intensity of the search is very high. And all of us, every single one of us that are away from Christ are lost. The Bible says we are lost in our trespasses and sins. It says we are far from God. We are separated from Him. And there was nothing you and I could do to find our way back to God. You know, nothing to repair the damage that sin has done. No amount of good works. No, oh, I'll turn over a new leaf. No. So because God valued humanity so much, He upped the level of the search and sent Jesus into the world. He came on a rescue mission to seek and save that which was lost. And I want to say today that we have been invited to join Him on that mission. When we accepted Jesus, we were commissioned into the family of God to get on His mission, which is to seek and save and to reach those that are far from God. And I don't know your detailed assignment from God, but we've all been called to follow Him. That's our calling. Follow me. But I don't know the will of God for your life. But I do know this, that as part of the will of God, it's that you be on mission with Jesus, on the mission of Jesus to seek and save that which was lost. So I want to share three things that Jesus invites us to do, and then three whys. Why do we need to do them? If you're good with that, say amen. Amen? Good. I want to challenge you to write this down. You're not going to remember it. And if you're not writing anything down, write it down. Amen? So, we see the three things that we are invited into in the story that I just read in Matthew about the donkey. So, number one, Jesus invites us to carry the message. Jesus invites us to carry the message. He came so that we don't have to live lost, broken, and helpless lives. That we would find hope in the person of Jesus. And He invites us to be carriers of this message, of the good news. But we are just the carriers of the message. Amen? We are not the message. And you've got to get this. You are not the message. You are just the carrier of the message. You need to take the pressure off yourself. You know, so many people put pressure on themselves. You know, I've got to get this person to Jesus. Oh, I've got to help them get their lives together. Oh, I've got to speak into their lives. I'm not making a difference, whatever. No. Let me say it this way. You are not the power unto salvation. Jesus is. You are just the carrier of the message. If we go to Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, you are not Jesus. You're the donkey. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you're just a donkey. Okay. I don't want anybody to be offended. You know, I grew up with the King James Version. And That version does not use the word donkey. It's a different word. And I'm definitely not going to tell you to look at your neighbor and tell them you're another word for a donkey, all right? Moving on, okay? Moving on. What kind of church did you invite me to, Mabel? All right, this one, okay. We are just carriers of the message. Jesus was the star of the show on the day. We got to know that. All the donkey did was carry the life-changing message into Jerusalem. It's also kind of odd that he didn't ride in on a horse. No king or warrior would ride on a donkey, but it shows the humility of Jesus. If you weren't you last week, I really want to challenge you, get that message, leaving a legacy. Listen to it today when you get home. We are not supposed to be, I think, you know, because Jesus was humble. We're not supposed to be jerks for Jesus. Amen? Telling everybody that they condemned, they're going to burn and go to hell. I don't know about you, but I'm so tired of hearing how much we're supposed to curse the darkness. I'll rather light a candle. Amen? And the Bible says, I'm a city on a hill. So I'm supposed to, Matthew 5 say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's the way we should carry the message. And you can be a part of just cursing the problem, or you can be a part of the solution. And the solution is the person of Jesus Christ. We are carriers of the message. Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my what? You'll be my what?
Witnesses.
Witnesses. What do witnesses do? Anyway, what do witnesses do? They just tell what they've seen or heard. Isn't that so? They just say what they've seen or heard. You don't have to have all the answers. You're not a lawyer defending God. You're not a judge passing condemnation. You're a witness. You don't have to know what happened to the dinosaurs or where they came from. And no. You don't have to know any of that stuff to be a carrier of the message. Amen. You just have to be able to describe what you've seen and what you've heard in your life. I may not know all the answers to your questions, but I just know that I've seen God restore a marriage. I've seen God break addictions. I've seen God heal a sick body. I've witnessed I've seen this stuff in my life. You know, I know I was lost in my own sin, and the love of God came into my life and encountered me. And in one moment, He forgave me. He changed me. Now I'm a carrier of that message. And some of you are thinking, Mark, I don't know how to do that. I'm not outgoing. It's not my personality. Do you know what I found? And I mean this. This is what I've really found. Are you all listening? We are all evangelists for the things we love. Boom. We are all evangelists for the things we love. I just need to talk to you and I can find out quite quickly what you love. I can get you talking about CrossFit. Ever met a CrossFit person? They're worse than vegans. I love meat. Oh, now I'm offended. Bar patty. Okay, so. No, it is. You talk to people very quickly. You just start chatting to them. This is the restaurant that I like, you know, and they start telling you about the restaurant. This is my favorite sport. This is my favorite team. Amen. Liverpool. Hallelujah. Not so, birthday boy. Isn't that true? Why? Because we all like to talk about what we love. So if you love Jesus, why not talk about Him? Well, how, Mark? Let me give you two words. It's real easy. Invest, invite. Invest, invite. Invest in what? Invest in relationships. I'm not asking you to do drive-by evangelism, you know. Window down, driving through the community, you're all going to hell, come to church with me, kind of thing. You know, that's not very effective. Being effective means it really works, okay? And I know that you all, every single one of you, have relationships that you've invested into. Your friend on your sports team, the person in the office next to you, the one that you commute to work with every day, the neighbor that lives in your cul-de-sac, you all have relationships that you've invested in. And where you've invested, extend an invitation. It's that simple. Where have you invested your life into, extend an invitation. Do you know that studies show that more than 70% of people at Easter and at Christmas will accept an invitation to church if someone would ask them, who did you invite last Easter? Just a question. Do you know that the overwhelming response of that survey, the survey was done, if you want to Google it, George Barner Corporation, was that, listen to this, no one asked them. 70% said they would have gone to church, but no one invited them. Folks, Christmas is coming. We've just had the biggest sister night we ever had. I want to say to all the ladies in the house, thank you for inviting your friends. Thank you for those that come. We've got Mother's Day coming. Maybe you know of mothers. They've lost their family or they've moved away somewhere. The family's gone to Joburg or something, or I don't know what, but they're on their own. Invite them. We're going to celebrate moms on the 12th of May. You see, the higher the value of the lost item, the more intense we are in the search. Or at least we should be. You invest in relationship and then you invite them to come with you. Well, Pastor, this culture that we live in today, you know, people get offended easily. You know, what if they take an offense that I invite them? Have you ever found anyone get offended when they're invited to the things that you love? Think about it. You send out wedding invitations and get a response back. How dare you invite me to your wedding? Unless, of course, you're an ex-girlfriend or something. That would be weird, all right? Just thought of that. We're not talking about that, you know? But we don't get like a response to a wedding invitation. How dare you do this to me? No, why? Because when you get the invitation to the wedding, you feel honored. Why do you feel honored? Because they're inviting you into a moment that means so much to them. And if Jesus means so much to us, why wouldn't we invite people into the moment? Like a day when we do celebrate the resurrection, or a day when we do celebrate his birth, or have our Christmas celebration. Why would we, you know, not do that? You've got to understand, you're a carrier of the message. Number two, Jesus invites us to carry it now. Now. I think the world has never been changed by good intentions. There's so much good intentions, but sadly, I think that's where a lot of us are at in our lives. We have every intention to step out and invite them. We have every intention to pray for them in our lives. But Mark, you don't understand. I had every intention at Easter, but my schedule was so busy. I had intentions, but, you know, and I don't think it's necessary ill will in our heart. I don't think that. I don't think we come to a place where we look at our friends and we say, I hope they can live life without Jesus. I think we just never get around to it. John 9:4, we must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. In other words, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. Not every window or door stays open forever. And I think Jesus is saying that you've got to take it when it's in front of you, because not every opportunity lasts forever. I think the heart of the Father is, and it's also my prayer for you, that there would be a little bit of urgency within us. That we would realize that the souls of humans are more valuable than a wedding ring. That the intensity of our search would be greater than if we had just lost something that can just be replaced. You cannot replace a soul. And so God is saying, carry it now. Come on, my child. Carry it now. You have the perfect window of opportunity every time we have an event to share the message, to carry it, to invest, to extend an invitation, but to do it now. You know, my friend Shane, a very good friend of mine, we're in the army together. He often watches. So Shane, if you're watching, love you, my friend. And Shane was shot in the back, quadriplegic from the neck down. I was with him just after it happened, spent some time with him. From that day to this, he just loved Jesus. He came to Cape Town. He was at Karl Bremer Hospital, paraplegic, quadriplegic ward. And he loved God. And some years later, I moved here to Paarl. He was there, and I went twice a week, every Monday and Friday in the afternoon, to spend time with him and the other quadriplegics and paraplegics that were there. And on leaving one day, I noticed this guy in the corner of the room, the window, and it was just this bed, and he was sitting there. He looked so sad. He had the halo. It's like a metal thing over his head because they can't control their neck. And he had this halo, and he looked so distressed. And so I started moving to him to talk to him. And then I thought to myself, it's late. It was after five. I started to drive back to Paul. And I thought, I'll talk to him on Monday. And I left. I actually thought of him on the Sunday. I thought, I hope he's all right. He looked like really sad. And I arrived on the Monday, and it was like in a movie. I came in and I went, and his bed was empty, and I asked, where is he? Where's the guy that was in this bed? And the sister looked at me and said, oh, he died yesterday. He died yesterday. May there be an urgency in our souls, folks. That this is not just something that we tick off as one of our religious practices. No, no. That's not why Jesus came. We have been enlisted into this adventure, into this mission of seek and saving those who are far from God. We have to connect people to God and people to people and people to purpose. You and I have been invited, and he says, carry it now. Number three, still with me. Carry it when Jesus says. And here's what I mean by that. He said, go and get the donkey. And it says the disciples did it right then. They did what he instructed them to do. And if I had to guess, if you're here and you are a follower of Jesus, you know the nudging of the Holy Spirit when you're supposed to say something, or when you're supposed to take the next step, when you're supposed to, in your spirit, you know, extend the invitation. And the Holy Spirit can whisper, but we can have all the reasons why we can't do it next time. I'm a little busy right now. I'm in a hurry. You know, I've got to get my coffee and run. And the Holy Spirit on the inside of us is saying, invite them. I can't do it right now. Just do it when Jesus says. And so as your pastor, I'm praying that you are nudged by the voice of the Holy Spirit in all the interactions that you have, that you would go, yes, and invite them. Hey, would you like to come with me to, celebration service? Life group, youth on a Friday night. Hallelujah. All the youth said, amen. Amen. But I'm just saying, will you just ask, hey, why don't you come? Why don't you just come and sit with me? That something inside of you would not leave you alone until you say, hey, why don't you just come with me? We can go for tea afterwards. We can go for lunch afterwards. We can go for coffee afterwards. I don't know. Whatever it is, you know, bribery is not a sin when you lead people to Jesus. All right, it's a method. It's a tool. Have lunch with me after. I'm joking, folks. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. He's saying, if you think that just hearing the word means it's doing something in your life, you are deceived. It carries on. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. In other words, he doesn't do anything about it. Carries on, 25. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. He says, don't just hear, but do. In other words, act on the words. Carry it when Jesus says. Now, why? Why is this such a big deal? I'll give you three whys, because if you don't know the why, you'll have a hard time doing the what. Okay? Number one, it's why Jesus came. It's why Jesus came. He didn't come to be a good moral person that would be a model for us to follow, although he was. He didn't come, you know, to just be a great teacher, although I believe he was the most brilliant teacher ever to be. But according to Luke 9:10, it says, for the Son of Man came to what? It's on the screen. Came to, you know how to talk in church. Came to seek and save the lost. The whole reason Jesus came was he was on a rescue mission to seek and save the lost. And we've been invited into that. It's the whole reason that we, the church, exist. The church does not exist to do good, although we should be doing good. It does not exist to teach and to develop, although I believe with all my heart we should be doing that. We've been commissioned by the Master to go and seek and save those who are lost. It's the whole reason that we are here. Not just to have good feelings or sing nice songs that we like. No, it's so that the gospel of Jesus, which is the good news, can be shared with those who are far from God and lost in their sin so that they can find forgiveness. There is no one outside the reach of the grace of God. His mercy is available to all of humanity, and he transforms people from the inside out. That's why he came, and that's why we are here. I would go beyond that. And I would say, number two, it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility. Maybe I should phrase it like this. It's your responsibility. As a follower of Jesus, it is your responsibility to do what? To be a witness. To be a witness of what we've seen and what we've heard. It's not an option, folks. The great commission that is found in all four of the gospel and in the books of Acts as well. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's not the great suggestion. And it's not the great commission for only a certain group of top A, highly driven people. No. It's for every believer. It is our responsibility. Still with me. Number three, it's what the world needs. It's what this world needs. And so my question is, why aren't more people sold out? I don't think that it's a desire issue, because I think that if I sat with everyone here and said, do you desire for the people in your life to know the gospel of Jesus? You know? Do you desire for people to know the grace and mercy of God? You would say yes, and you'll be totally honest. So it leads me to believe that we have a value issue. Because if we truly valued people the way Jesus valued people, we would do everything you could to see them encounter the love of God. Romans 5:12 says this, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, sin brought death. And in this way, death came to all people because all sin. That means there isn't anyone that you encounter on any given day that isn't in need of a savior. Not one. And guess what? You are God's plan A. And there's no plan B. You're not the message, but you are the carrier. And there is no time, I believe, like right now to carry this wonderful message of grace. And I just wonder today, if the value was higher, would the search be higher? Because we know that when, all of us, when you lose something of value, man, you will overturn everything. And you enlist everybody to help you find it. You know, we were in Pietermaritzburg, the boys were small. We were at a show called The Royal Show many years ago. It's like this huge fair. The whole town comes to it. And my younger son, Kalen, was about two and a half. And he's on team right now. And it's so amazing to see the man, the husband, the dad that you've become. I'm like, wow, I'm proud of you. I mean that. And so I just say when I see you, thank you, God. But as a family, we were walking around looking at different things. One place had a little playpen with little chickens and goats and everything there. We went and we were looking at that. It was really great, different things. And all of a sudden, Jan said, "Where's Kalen?" And we looked around and we couldn't see him anywhere. Thousands of people crammed together and he was gone. And it's hard to explain the feeling of anxiety that spread through us, and we started searching. I was screaming out his name. I was searching, running every. Jan was just shouting his name. I eventually made my way to the radio tower. It was called the Total Tower, where they announced that a little boy with blonde hair, yes, he had blonde hair, was missing. And he was very young. And so they were announcing it. I was literally running, screaming at the top of my voice, "Kalen, Kalen." At no time did we say to each other, "Well, let's take a course on how to look for a lost two-year-old. You know, let's just make sure that we get our certificate first before we step out, because we need to know the steps of 1, 2, 3, you know, before we go out of this place to look for him because he's lost." We didn't care about our reputation. We didn't care what people thought about. We were running up to complete strangers, and we weren't running up and saying, "Oh, hi, excuse me, how's your day going today? You know, are you enjoying the show? You know, no, you know." We didn't go and offer them a cup of coffee and sit with us. No, we just ran up screaming, "Have you seen a little boy, blonde, this high? You know, very confident. Have you seen him anywhere?" You know, we were walking around yelling out his name. Why? Because the value of what was lost was so very high. So the intensity of the search went sky high. And we eventually found him on the shoulders of a stranger, very happy. And they were looking for us. I just wonder if God the Father doesn't look down from heaven going, "Why aren't my kids active and passionate in their search?" Because what is lost is so very valuable to me. And so there are men and women, boys and girls that are far from God and don't know the love of Jesus. Maybe they have religion, but they've never felt the transforming power of the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just wonder if, you know, God doesn't look at us, look at his church and say, "Can you increase the intensity level? Can you stop worrying about what people think about you or how they will respond to you? Can you just get into the highways and the byways and just invite people?" Why? Because the gospel matters. Folks, eternity is real. And Jesus is the only way to the Father. And if you value what is lost, maybe our search would be more intensified. So I'm praying today that something stirs on the inside of you, because I believe that if you would value what is lost, you would evaluate your search. If you would evaluate I believe if you come to that place where you value your classmates or your clients or the soul of that family member, maybe you would intensify your search. And so we serve the Jesus that seeks. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And we've been invited into the journey, invited into the mission. And if I had to guess, as you've been listening today, maybe there's a face or a name that has come into your mind or someone in your life that is close to you, but they are far from God. Maybe it's not a name. Maybe it's many names. There may be, and that's my prayer, may this be the season you invite them to come with you on your journey. May this be the season where a seed is planted, where it's watered, and God brings a harvest. May you be a carrier of the message. Team, you can come up. And so I want to challenge you to be bold and to believe God. You know, trust Him. I want to challenge you to be someone that gives invitations. Even in this week that is coming, that you would have some people that are in your world that are far from God, one day sitting here with you. Because I know that when the gospel is given, God will work in a powerful way. Believe Him for it. And so I want to challenge you that as you go from here, carry the message. Carry the message. Let's pray. Every bar are closed. Right now, I want to give you an opportunity to make that Jesus that I spoke about, that is seeking those that are far from Him, that you would take Him right now and invite Him into your life, that you'd make Him the Lord of your life. The Bible says that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. He valued you so much. You are so precious to God the Father that He sent His Son just for you. Maybe you haven't even valued your own soul. Maybe you've walked with God for a while and you've kind of just grown cold, going through the motions. But today God is saying, no, I love you. I've got a plan and purpose for your life. If you say, Mark, that's me. I'm not where I should be with God, but today I'm coming back to Him. I'm putting Him back on the throne of my life. I'm going to become a carrier of that message. If that's you, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to stand or come to the front, but I am going to ask you to raise your hand so I know, as an indication to me to pray and to God, that you are serious. Then I want you to do that now. Just say, Mark, today I'm making Jesus the Lord of my life. I've had religion. I've had church. Praise God, yes. Hallelujah. Praise God, yes. Praise God, yes. Hallelujah. Mark, pray for me. Is there anybody else? Join those hands that have gone up. Praise God. Your heart's beating. It's getting a little bit anxious. That's because God values you so much that He's leaning in saying, I love you. Don't continue your life in your own strength. You're not going to make it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mark, pray for me. Is there anybody else before I pray? I always know that there's a battle sometimes going on because the enemy doesn't want to let go. He knows the value of your soul and he tries to hold on. And God says, no, I've got a plan and purpose. Praise God. Those with your hands up, you can put them down. Mark, pray for me. Those of you that raised your hand, I want you to pray the simple prayer. It's so simple, but it's not the prayer. It's the condition of your heart and the grace of God that brings salvation. And what we're going to do is we're all going to pray with you so you don't have to pray out alone. But just follow me in this prayer right now. It's very simple. It goes like this. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior, and I will never be the same again in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Come on, let's give a big hand to those who just prayed that simple prayer. We believe you've just been born again. I want to challenge you with all my heart to keep God first place in your life, and He will do incredible things in your future. Amen. God's declared promises over you. Don't forget tonight, worship night, encounter night. Come and just stand and just worship Him for who He is. I'm telling you now, if you would count your blessings one by one, all those other things in your life would slowly diminish as He becomes Lord of all. And so, until we meet again, don't forget to share hope, show kindness, and shine Jesus. Amen.